Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from our Old Testament and Gospel readings, including these words. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." You may be seated. Dear saints, the story of Jonah is, of course, a favorite one from Scripture. While children in Sunday school may not resonate with all of the biblical accounts, it may take them several times of hearing about the Passover or about Zacchaeus to get it. But when they hear the story of Jonah, usually the first time they get it, because it is very dramatic. Jonah, the reluctant prophet, when told to go to Nineveh, runs the other way, boards a ship. The storm comes, the sailors throw him overboard. He's swallowed by a great fish, and 3 days later, spit out on the beach. Great stuff. But we don't get that part of the Jonah story today. No, today we get the part where Jonah actually now does finally do what God tells him to do. He does the work God has called him for, to go to that great city of Nineveh and preach a word of repentance. We don't necessarily know all of what Jonah said, but the crux of the message is pretty simple. In 40 days, you are all goners. 40 days, and God will wipe this evil city off the map. The history of Nineveh and the Ninevites will come to an end. Simple. This is not a prophecy about the end of the world or the end times, because, well, the Messiah has not yet come, but it is to be the end of Nineveh and the end of the Ninevites, according to Jonah, according to God. Now, we might expect the people of Nineveh to just laugh at Jonah, or worse, lock him up or something. These are not Jews living there. What do they care about some itinerant prophet preaching about some god from a foreign land? But here we see the power of God's word as worked and spoken by Jonah. God's word does exactly what he intends it to do. Even though Jonah doesn't want it, the people of Nineveh repent. From the greatest of them to the least of them, all of them believe what God is telling them. And they act upon that faith. They repent. They put on sackcloth. They declare a fast. They repent of all the evil that they're doing, and they attempt and promise to amend their ways. The king of Nineveh issues a decree that says this: "Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish." And the Lord does relent. The city is spared. Its people live. And then we have Jesus in our gospel reading. And his message is quite similar to Jonah's, with a few additions. The first is that Jesus prefaces his call to repentance with the words, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand." Now, as Christians, we've heard these phrases multiple times, but can you imagine what the people who first heard it from the lips of Jesus must have thought? The time is fulfilled. Everything that time has been waiting for is now happening. Everything that the people of God have been waiting for centuries, it's here, it's happening now. The kingdom of God is at hand. But the people must have thought, what do you mean? The time is fulfilled? The kingdom of God is at hand? I go outside and I look around and the world looks just like it did yesterday. What are you talking about? Perhaps Jesus should have said it like this: the kingdom of God is at hand. For wherever Jesus goes, there's God. And wherever God is with his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace, there is the kingdom of God. John the Baptist told the people to repent because the kingdom of God was coming. Jesus tells them to repent because it's here. The kingdom of God is here. Now is the time. Now is the time to repent and believe in the gospel. That's the second thing different about Jesus' message, is he tells them to believe in the gospel, believe in the good news. Now, we are on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, and we have a better handle on what the gospel is. Jesus died on the cross to atone for our sins. He rose from the dead to give us life, and he gives you the benefits of his death and resurrection in the waters of holy baptism. That's the basics of the gospel. But note here that when Jesus says these words, none of those things have happened yet. So what is the gospel? The Ninevites experienced it. It is the unmerited grace and mercy of God. It is God relenting from the disaster, from handing out the punishment that we sinners deserve. So Jesus is saying, repent and trust that God is merciful, that he is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It is faith in the goodness and the promises of God. That's what it means to believe in the gospel. But now here we are. We might be wondering, is the kingdom of God still at hand? We don't see Jesus standing here. But remember that wherever Jesus is, there is God. Wherever God is with his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace, there is the kingdom of God. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Thy kingdom come." And Luther reminds us that the kingdom of God comes indeed without our prayers, but we pray that it would come among us also. In an answer to the question, how does God's kingdom come? Luther writes, God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. You see, Jesus' words to us, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. It's not only that we should repent and believe because the kingdom of God is at hand. No, the kingdom of God is at hand whenever people are repenting and believing in the gospel. Whenever God's word is proclaimed, whenever his sacraments are given for the forgiveness of sins. And so the kingdom of God is here, now, among us, today. Christ is present. And you come confessing your sins, repenting. And you come believing the words that your sins are forgiven. You come believing the gospel. And so then the kingdom of God is among us today. Isn't it remarkable at the immediacy with which the Ninevites repented? They didn't wait until day 39 out of 40 to go ahead and repent. Like, we have 40 days. We can do that later. No, it happened immediately. How slowly our world would seem to do the same. Most people in the world see everything as carrying on just as it has for centuries, maybe even getting better and better and better. The unbeliever doesn't recognize often that death can come at any time. If there is a need for getting right with God, well, there's always time for that later. I'll have fun now, and then later I'll put my affairs in order. But Scripture is clear. The kingdom of God is at hand now. The time to repent is now. The time to believe in the gospel is now. Why? Because the Son of Man will return at a time when we do not expect it. For any one of us, for any person living this day may be their last day. And so it seems the world is not in a hurry to repent and believe in the gospel, which is why Christ has gifted the world with his church. This is why Christ has gifted this community with you Christians. In the same way that God gifted the people of Nineveh with Jonah, and God gifted the people of first century Judah with John the Baptist, so he has gifted the world with you. God places his church in the world to be his voice, to carry his message, repent and believe in the gospel. Oh, we're often like Jonah, reluctant to do what the Lord calls us to do. Some churches literally run away from God's word and simply capitulate to the changes that are happening in the world, bending themselves and their teaching to make it a little more palatable to the unbeliever. Or we may even have a sense from time to time that we would rather just let the world go to hell in a handbasket, because isn't that what the world deserves after all? It's a lot easier to be quiet and to speak the truth. Yet speaking the truth in love is what we are called to do. As the church, we are called to continue until the end of time to preach repentance and to preach that salvation comes only through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. As individual Christians, we are called to always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, doing it with gentleness and respect, as St. Peter urges us. All of us would rather avoid uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable conversations, and sometimes it is better to be silent than to speak, but we must speak when necessary. And God will give us the words. He's promised to do that. And God's word will accomplish whatever purpose he intends for it. He has also promised us that. Let us then continue to proclaim the message that the whole world needs to hear. Repent and believe in the gospel. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.